Well, amen. That was good. How great thou art. You see folks getting saved, and when you see folks excited about serving the Lord, you can say how great thou art. When somebody has 7-way bypass surgery on Tuesday and then comes to church on Sunday, you can say how great thou art. Gary Beard is back there, believe it or not. And Gary, I think I would have understood if you'd stayed home tonight. I really do. But it's good to see you. And we have certainly prayed for you. Amen. All right. Well, let's just give the invitation and go home. What do you say? My soul. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Now, you didn't really think I was going to do that, did you? At 20 minutes till this morning, Pastor Stainer was still going strong. Quarter till this morning, he was still going strong. Some of the folks out in the hallway and said, you've taught him too well. He just kept on going. Energizer Bunny. I would like to read the 8th verse of this 18th chapter of the book of the Proverbs. Verse 8, please. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, let's just all read that together, okay? Verse 8, here we go. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, if you'll hold your place here in this 8th chapter and turn over to chapter 26, we have something interesting here. In chapter 26 and in verse 22, we have the exact same words. Chapter 26, verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You can turn to whichever one you want. Doesn't make any difference. They both say the same thing. But I want to preach to you tonight a message I'm going to entitle Dangerous Words. Dangerous Words. Let's pray together. Now, our Father, thank you so much for your meeting with us tonight. And Lord, it's wonderful when what happens goes outside the schedule and when the blessings far exceed what we could think or ask. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts thus far. And now, Lord, we turn our attention to your eternal word. And Father, these words are important, and I pray that you will help us to see the picture and to understand how it applies, that, Lord, we might go forth from here with a different perspective on living the Christian life. And Father, I pray that you'll give ears to hear to every one of us. Lord, we're all in a position where we are capable, prone to dangerous words. But Lord, we're also all prone and very prone to receive dangerous words. And so I pray you'll help us tonight. And Father, help me as I speak. I need your blessing. I need your power. So that, Lord, the words that I say will not just be words, but they will be thoughts that will penetrate into our heart. They will be pictures that will stay in our minds. And Lord, they will be supported and backed up with the unction of the Holy Spirit so that they produce. So Lord, help us tonight. Send revival to our church. Send revival to our hearts. And we'll give you praise and glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. It is very rare in the Bible to find a verse that is repeated word for word in the same book of the Bible. But yet here we are in the book of Proverbs, and we have this verse repeated twice in the book. In chapter 18, verse 8, in chapter 26, and verse 22. And that must mean that the words that are in this verse, or these two verses, it must mean that their message is very important. I think the Lord, it must mean that God has something really important that He wants us to consider and understand. Now let me read the verse to you again, and I want you to listen very carefully and let the words sink into your heart. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, let me begin tonight by giving you a little brief word study on the words that make on the key words that make up this verse. First, I want you to look at the word words. You'll find it the second word in the word words. If you study the Hebrew word, this is a word that translated pictorially, I guess you would say, means a tasty morsel. A tasty morsel. We would understand this word in our vernacular. We would understand this word this way. A juicy little tidbit. A juicy little tidbit. One author said it this way. He said, I understand this word to mean words of sport. And you know, there are just some people that make a sport out of talebearing, out of gossip. Look now at the word talebearer. Literally taken and broken down, this word means a spice peddler. A spice peddler. It comes from the word where spice peddler comes from. We like to hear the spicy things, don't we? Let's be honest. Let's be real. We like to hear the spicy things. And in most cases, the spicier, the better. Look at the word wounds. This word has a serious tone to it. And actually, most Hebrew scholars believe that the word means deadly wounds. Deadly wounds. And then I want you to notice the word belly. This word is used to describe the entire human cavity, the entire human body. And it's interesting when you think about what this verse is saying. Look at your Bible, please. The tasty, juicy, deadly morsels, words, of the spice peddler, the talebearer, are as deadly wounds to the entire human body. That's a fascinating statement, is it not? It's absolutely a fascinating statement. Now, let me establish with you a little scenario here. What I want to do tonight is I want to make a couple of statements that will build one upon the other. My message is not going to be normally what I preach to you on a Sunday night. My style is going to be just a little bit on the different side. But I think you can follow me carefully if you know where I'm going and what I'm doing. So let me tell you, I'm going to establish for you a scenario. I'm going to create a picture for you tonight. And I want to make a couple of statements that will build one upon the other. And then once we get the scene established, I want to show you how this verse applies to every single one of us in this room. Dangerous words. We are all prone to speak them, and we are all prone to listen to them. But do we really understand what we're doing to ourselves and to others when we speak the dangerous words? Now, one more time, look at your Bible. Using the definitions that I gave you, let's look one more time at what's being said. the tasty, juicy, deadly morsels, words, of the spice peddler, the talebearer, are as deadly wounds to the entire human body, the belly. Notice that it does not say that these words cause a deadly wound, but that they are a deadly wound. Do you see the difference? Dangerous words. Now let me start. We're going to develop a little scenario here. I'm going to create for you a little scene, and I want you to follow along in the scene. As we read this verse and as we understand what the words mean, the first thing that came to my mind is this. Someone is going to die. Someone is going to die. Now, don't misunderstand. I don't mean physically, but someone is going to die. Our verse tells us that someone is going to be poisoned. Our verse tells us that somebody is going to have a deadly wound. Now, there are only three different people that you can pull from this verse. There are only three possibilities that you can pull from this verse. Number one is the talebearer himself or herself. Would you agree with that? Number two is the person who hears the deadly tale that is being told. So you have the speaker, you have the hearer, and then there is a third person that is in this verse. And that is the person who is the object of the tale. Now, one of these three has a deadly wound and is going to die. The question that we need to ask ourselves is this. Which one is going to die? Now, remember, there's only three people involved. There's the talebearer, there's the tale hearer, and there is the person who is the object of the tale. But somebody here is going to be mortally wounded in this verse. Now that leads me to the next statement in the scenario. Statement number one, somebody is going to die. Now listen very carefully to this second statement. When a talebearer gives his tasty morsels to the hearer, he thinks or she thinks that he is wounding the object of his tale. Let me say it again. When the talebearer gives his tasty morsels to the hearer, he thinks he is wounding, hurting, destroying, hitting the object of his tales. He runs to somebody with some juicy tale, and he thinks that he is hurting the person that is the subject of his juicy tale. But is he really hurting the person that he is intending to hurt? In reality, it is the one who hears and accepts the deadly morsel who is being poisoned and destroyed. Do you see that line of thinking? This person is a talebearer, and he runs to somebody else and says, "Here, open up. Let me pour some deadly morsels down your throat." He thinks that he is hurting the person who is the object of his deadly tale, when in reality he is poisoning the person that he is telling his tale to. You see, the talebearer has already been poisoned, and now he has poison the person that he is telling. And sadly, the talebearer probably doesn't even realize that he's poisoned and is destroying himself. And even though he's trying to destroy the object of his tale, he is actually destroying himself and the person who is hearing his tale. He is already poisoned, and now he's giving the poison to the hearer of his tale. And folks, in reality, the only one who is not affected is the one who is the object of the tale. Are you listening to me tonight? And in reality, The danger is not to the person that it was intended to hurt. The danger is to the person who is telling the tale and to the person who is listening to it. Let me break it down for you. I can do this by making five little general statements here. Number one, the talebearer is trying to destroy the object of his tale. Number two, the hearer of the tale is the one being poisoned. Number three, the talebearer is already poisoned. Number four, the person who is the object of the tale is the only one who is not poisoned. And number five, therefore, the only one not destroyed is the one the talebearer was trying to destroy. Now, folks, do you know what that means? It simply means that when someone, listen to me now, I'm trying to help you here. It simply means that when someone comes to you with gossip, with a tale, bearing the tale, you are the one being poisoned and you are the one that is going to receive the deadly wound. Now, most Christians do not consider themselves gossips. Karen said to me one time, I don't gossip, it's the people I tell things to, they're the ones that gossip. Most Christians do not consider themselves gossips. But I'm saying that you best be careful with what you allow yourself to hear. When we allow ourselves to hear the juicy morsels from the talebearer, in reality, we are practicing self-destruction. If called on tonight, I could give you name after name after name of people in the last 10 years who either took it upon themselves to be the talebearer or who allowed the talebearer to pour his or her poison down their throats to destroy them. I could name you talebearer after talebearer and hearer after hearer who are not in church tonight. They're not here. Why? Because they drank some poison along the way, and that poison ended up ruining their effectiveness and destroying their service for God. They were given a deadly wound, which eventually ruined and destroyed their effectiveness for the Lord. Christian, you better run from the talebearer. You better run from them just like you would run from a man with a loaded gun who was trying to kill you. Listen, there is not a one of us that would dare even consider drinking a glass of poison, but we just can't wait for someone to take the deadly poison and in the form of a juicy morsel and spoon feed us with it. But what we're doing is we're taking it to our own destruction. I'm saying that the talebearer is trying to hurt you, to destroy you, even though in most cases he or she doesn't even know it, and you don't even know it. But it happens. My text says the words of a talebearer are as wounds. The question is, who gets the deadly wound? And the answer is the person that sits and listens to the tale. The person that sits and listens to the tale. Number three. So what's the conclusion? That's not the conclusion of the sermon. What's the conclusion of the matter? Here it is. The one to be pitied is the one who hears the tale. The one to be pitied. You say, well, I feel sorry for that poor fool who is bearing the tale. Oh, no, my friend. If you pity anyone, it should be the one who is the hearer. The talebearer he's already demonstrated an evil heart because he is trying to destroy the object of his tales. The one who hears the tales is usually a pretty good person, an innocent person, who simply did not have the insight to see what the talebearer was up to and didn't have enough courage to stop him. So as a courtesy, he listens to the tale, and when he does, the poison is poured into him. And once it goes in, It gets into the innermost parts of his being and begins its process of destruction. You say, but Pastor, this is life. This goes on all the time. We hear poison all the time. I know, and that's probably what's wrong with us. I know. And that's probably what's wrong with us. And what I'm saying to you tonight is don't listen to the talebearers. If you don't give them an avenue, then they're going to shut up. If you don't give them the opportunity, don't listen to the gossip. Run from the talebearer. Run from the gossip. Turn from the slanderer. Number four, God gives us in this verse warnings not to listen. That's what this verse is all about, folks. This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, quote unquote. And this wise man is telling us, you better listen to God and not listen to the talebearer. These verses are warnings from God, given to the potential hearer not to listen to the talebearer. I wonder through the years how many good people have been poisoned by the talebearer. I remember my mother used to say all the time, I wished I'd had enough sense to listen to her. She used to say all the time, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. We talk about the turnover rate that we have in our churches today. I wonder how many people have simply been poisoned by someone who was the bearer of tales. The gossips, they're deadly to the hearer. They are deadly morsels that they give to the hearers. And they're not affecting their intentional targets. Let me have you look at chapter 18 and verse 14. Look at 18:14. Solomon said, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" A wounded spirit, who can bear? Now, what are some things that gossip will kill? Let me give you a couple of things that gossip will kill, and then I'll be done. This verse of Scripture, chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Who can handle, who can carry a wounded spirit? Man, that's the hardest thing in the world to deal with, is a wounded spirit. What are some things that gossip will kill? I want to give you, I think, three things that gossip will kill. Number one, it'll kill your spirit. It'll destroy your spirit. The spirit of a man can sustain him in the most difficult of physical problems. But once a man's spirit has been wounded, he can't handle even the simplest things of life, much less the difficulties of life. Let me illustrate. Suppose that I came out of my office on a Sunday night at 7:05. The orchestra is playing. I've got 5 minutes to get in here. I'm running late. And I come out of the office and start down the hall, and somebody stops me and says, "Pastor, can I talk to you a minute?" "Sure." So I stop. They say, "Pastor, I heard something awful about brother and sister so-and-so. I heard they blah, 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 blah," whatever it is. Don't you think that's just awful? Now, let me ask you, my friend, who was affected by that? I got 2 minutes now to get from out there in the hallway to right here. And then I've got to stand up and open my Bible. And the simple truth of the matter is, the only thing I can think about is that little tidbit, that little juicy morsel that you just shared with me out in the hallway. Well, what if it's true? Well, what if it is? So what? What business is that of anybody else other than the person that is involved? You say, well, if it's the truth, it's not gossip. Folks, there are some things that we shouldn't talk about, even if it's the truth. And so here I am sitting on the platform, not getting anything out of the music, not getting anything out of Pastor Holbrook's testimony. That's saying a lot, isn't it? I'm not getting anything out of Pastor Stainer's testimony. I don't get anything out of the special music. All I'm thinking about is, oh my goodness, that is awful. Who's affected? Who's affected? I'm not going to be able to concentrate on delivering my sermon after a bomb like that has been dropped on my head. How upbeat, positive, excited, and spiritual do you think I'm going to be after someone hands me a bottle of arsenic and I drink it all down 5 minutes before the service? Let me give you another example. Suppose you came to church here and God spoke to your heart every time you came through the door. You came into church here and the Lord started to speak to your heart and you started growing. And God was blessing, and then one day you decide, well, we're going to join the church. And so you come, you and your family, and you join the church. And you really feel good about the church. You feel good about me. You feel good about the staff. You feel good about the direction the church is going in. You feel good about the sermons that you hear. You just feel good. God is blessing your heart. And then you start to meet people. And somebody invites you to come over to their house for dinner. And you go over to their house after a service one time, or maybe a Saturday or a Friday night. You go over to their house and everybody's laughing and having a good time. And you go in and you gather around the table. And as soon as you sit down in your chair, you realize that you're going to pray in a moment. That causes you to think of the church. And then you say, just in casual conversation, wasn't that a great sermon we heard last Sunday night? And all of a sudden, your guest host looks at your guest hostess, and they just all kind of both look at one another, and then they look back at you, and then baked pastor is served for the next 40 minutes. Roast pastor. Wonder who got hurt in that deal. Was it me? No. I wasn't even there. Didn't hurt me. They're never going to invite me to their house for dinner. I wasn't even there. Didn't hurt me a bit. Wonder who had their fired up for the Lord spirit destroyed that night. Wonder who is going to be poisoned in that engagement. And the really sad part is that once that spirit has been destroyed, it is almost impossible to get it back. What will gossip do? It will kill your spirit. Man, you can be all fired up and all excited. And man, Pastor Holbrook, I want to work in the buses. Brother Stainer, I want to get soul winning. Dr. Grammer, I want to get reformers. You can get all excited, all fired up about things, and then have one deadly morsel poured down your throat. That's it. You're done for God. And folks, I could stand up here tonight after 10 years and I could give you name after name after name after name of people that used to sit where you're sitting. But some talebearer got them off to the side, pulled their mouth open, poured the deadly morsels down, the juicy little tidbits. And now they're poisoned. It'll kill your spirit. Secondly, it'll kill your trust. It'll kill your trust. Let me tell you something, folks. As your pastor, I need you, my church family. I need you. I depend on you to witness. I depend on you to teach. I depend on you to tithe. I depend on you to pray and to do the work of this ministry. I cannot allow anything to take away the trust and confidence I have in you. So if I sit around and listen to gossip about you, I am endangering my ability to trust you to do the task that you've been given to do. And that should be turned around and looked at by you in the same light directed at me. This is one of the saddest statements, but yet I hear it all the time. I hear this all the time. You know, preacher, I've just lost all my confidence in preachers. Do you know what you just said? You just said, I've been sitting around drinking poison lately. Oh, dear friend, can't you see that you are the one being destroyed? When somebody comes to you and says, oh, that pastor, and then they start, or they say, oh, that Dr. Atkinson, or they come and they say, oh, that John Campbell, and then they start, if they come to you and say, oh, that brother so-and-so, ah, that old Bob Roche, ah, that old Russ Doerr, oh, that old Gene Barnes, when they start, you're the one that's being poisoned. They're not hurting Bob Roche. They're not hurting Russ Doerr. They're not hurting Gene Barnes. They're pulling your jaws apart and they're pouring their deadly morsels down inside. They're hurting you. They're hurting you because you sit there and listen to it. I know there's some preachers out there that aren't worth the shot and powder to take to blow up. I know that. I know there's some preachers out there that are just scoundrels. But most of the preachers that I know are godly men. They love the Lord. They want to do the right thing. Are preachers always right in the things they do and say? No, but neither are you. Hello. That's what we ought to do. Bob, we'll just go like this. Instead of nobody wants to ever say amen, we'll just go. All right, you ready? Here we go. Ready? Yeah, that's better. That's better. Yet you've allowed the devil to steal your trust because you've been damaged by poison. What will gossip do? It'll kill your spirit. It'll kill your trust. And thirdly, it'll kill your joy. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. Through the years, in the midst of some battle, I have had people write me letters or they've told me, you know, called me and told me, or they stopped me in the hallway or after the service or before the service, or they'll email me and they'll say, Pastor, don't worry about what's being said. Okay. I've learned, don't ask what's being said. Took me a while to learn that, but I finally learned that. Pastor, don't you worry about what's being said. You see, these people have worried about me because I sit in the place where a lot of slander and gossip is hurled. But wait a minute. I am not the one that drank the poison. And I really feel good about it when someone comes up and says, now, don't worry about what they're saying. I really feel good about that because I'm sitting there saying, whew, I haven't drank the poison. I don't know what she's talking about or what he's talking about. But you see, this person heard it. Now, let me ask you again. Who's being destroyed here? Me? Nope. I haven't heard it. I have not allowed that to enter into my being. I'm not the one that drank the poison. And as long as I don't drink the poison, I still have my joy. But you know what? The minute I say, tell me, what are they saying about me? And have you ever wondered who they are? Nobody ever seems to know. But as soon as I say, tell me, and they tell me, what's it do to me? I lose my joy. I lose my joy. You see, the one who drinks the poison by listening to the gossip and the slander are the ones who are in danger of losing their joy. Folks, I'm saying, don't listen to it. We just can't wait to get alone, start criticizing and griping to others about the way things are. And I'm telling you, if you sit around and listen to it, you're going to allow the devil to steal your joy. A few years ago, I don't know if some of you might remember this, but a few years ago, I think it was when Karen's mother was real sick, and she was down in West Virginia. And Lauren called me, and she was working, I think, at the hospital or something. Anyway, she said, "What are you doing for dinner?" And I said, "I don't know." She said, "Let me just stop at Subway, and I'll bring a couple subs home." I said, "Okay." It was a Saturday evening, and so she came to the house about a half an hour later. And I told her that I wanted a steak and cheese sub. All the goodies on it, you know, steak and cheese. And so she thought, wow, that sounds pretty good. And that's what she got. She got steak and cheese. We sat down and ate our steak and cheese sub. And everything was fine. And about 9 o'clock or so, she said, "Well, I'm going home." I said, "All right, we'll see you later, hon." She left. And about 11 o'clock, I thought, well, I better go to bed. I want to get up the next morning. Karen's not here to wake me up. I don't do mornings at all. And so I went to bed, and I laid down, and all of a sudden, I'm sick. I sat up on the edge of the bed about 11:30, and I was saying, "Oh, my soul, I think I've been poisoned." I was so sick, my head hurt. I felt like the top of my head was going to explode. And I was nauseous and just as sick as I could be. And I'm all through the night, I couldn't sleep. I was just so miserable. I found out the next morning that Lauren was sick as well. We had indeed eaten something on those sandwiches that made us sick. We were poisoned. Now, she's not the pastor of the church, so what'd she do? She stayed home. But I came in. Oh, several people saw me. They said, "Pastor, you don't look too good." Thanks. "You look a little green around the gills." Oh, I was. I was miserable. I did not think that morning service was ever going to get over. And then I had to sit through Sunday school. That's the first morning that I have not eaten two donuts during Sunday school since I came here to this church. Howard Otto buys me two donuts every Sunday morning and has them sitting on my desk. That's why I look like I do. It's Howard's fault. And then the second service. And oh, I was miserable. And I did not eat anything until after church on Sunday night. That's how sick I was. Now, when I don't eat, I'm sick. I got poisoned. And I wonder, how many people come to church that way every Sunday? Poisoned by deadly morsels that we've eaten through the week. It's no wonder that we don't ever hear the Lord speak. It's no wonder that nothing ever touches our hearts. It's no wonder that we just stay in the doldrums of Christianity. We've been poisoned. Folks, would you understand what the devil is trying to do? You see, the devil hates it when we have... How many did you have last week? 700? 675? 679? 679 on the buses, and 60-some people say, devil hates that. The devil hates it when this choir gets up here and sings, don't be afraid. The devil hates it when Krista gets up here and sings, how great thou art, and her heart is so filled with God's grace that she can't even sing about the song. You see, the devil hates that stuff. The devil hates it when folks are joining the church and when folks are getting baptized. And I'm just saying, don't let the devil steal your joy and your blessing by getting you to listen to the evil intentions of someone else. Turn to chapter 26. Look at verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. What is the fire he's speaking of here? The fire is the tongue. The fire is the tongue. Notice where there is no wood, the fire goes out. We ought to make sure that we don't make ourselves available for the burning. We ought to just make sure that we don't make ourselves available for the burning. May God help us not to become our own biggest enemy. When that talebearer comes around, put your hand up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You'll only have to do that one time. One time. They will get the message real fast. I don't want to hear that. You are about to pour arsenic down my throat, and I'm not going to let you do it. If I stood up here and I said, folks, this water right here looks like just regular water. But I want you to know this water has poison in it. And I'm going to give it to whoever wants it. There's not going to be any takers. Not a one of you would volunteer and say, well, preacher, I'll do it. No, it's poison. Why in the world? Why in the world do we want to take the deadly morsels from the talebearer that are going to accomplish the same thing on the spiritual level as what that water is on the physical level? I don't want anything stealing my joy. I don't want anything killing my spirit. I don't want anything killing that walk of victory and joy that is available with Christ. May God help us. May God help us to watch out for those dangerous words. Bow your heads, please. Now, our Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, help us to see the principle that's been laid out here. This is so simple. And Lord, all of us surely can understand what's been said. But now, Father, help us to apply it and appropriate it to our personal Christian walk. Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit We'll work in our midst here tonight. Lord, if the truth were told, all of us have been the recipient of the tale somewhere along the way. And all of us, at some time or another, we have been responsible for the tale. And Father, I pray you'll help us to take a good look at our hearts. And to understand and realize what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to kill our joy. He's trying to kill our spirit. He's trying to keep us from serving and being what we ought to be. He's trying his best to take away that joy that's in our Christian life. So Lord, help us tonight to understand and to apply and to use what we've heard to make a difference. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know how you give an invitation with a sermon like this. It's one of those things. It's one of those things where if you know, I ask you to walk down this aisle and make a decision, you're going to sit here and think, well, you know, everybody's going to think I'm a talebearer if I do that. I understand that. I wholeheartedly understand that. But you know, the simple truth of the matter is, we're all talebearers. And I just wish you'd sit here for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. And would you just let God's Holy Spirit tug at your heart wherever it's needed? You see, folks, the devil's out to kill you. He's out to kill you. He wants to kill your spirit. He wants to kill your joy. He just wants to ruin everything about your Christian life that he possibly can. He wants to make you where you don't trust the church and you don't trust people and you don't trust God. He's just out to destroy you. Don't let that happen. We serve a mighty, awesome, powerful God. You don't serve me. You serve this. You don't serve this church. You don't serve this staff. You serve God. Would you just look to the Lord tonight and let God use this in your heart? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just, nobody looking around. I just want to ask. I just want to see how many of you would say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart tonight. I understand what you're saying, and I realize it. And God's dealing with my heart tonight. And I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building and let's pray about this tonight? Yes, God bless you. Many, many hands. That's good. Amen. Amen. You may put your hands down. All right. Now, Father, you know our needs tonight. And I pray you'll meet the needs and bless in a special way. Father, give us understanding of what we have heard. Help us to appropriate the Word of God into our hearts, that, Lord, we'll go from here with renewed determination and zeal that things are going to change. And, Lord, I know that the devil is just doing everything he can to interrupt the work of this church. And, Lord, with this conference that's coming and all the people that we have the potential to reach, Father, just help us. Help us not to be partakers of the deadly morsel. Father, keep us close to you. May we have our eyes open to understand what the devil's trying to do. And Lord, give us victory. I pray for every person in this building. Lord, I pray especially for my staff and pray your blessings upon them. Pray for these folks that raise their hand. Oh, dear Lord, do something here in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.